Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. Dr. Diana Butler Bass is a scholar, a public speaker, a prolific writer, and a provocative thinker on the role faith plays in our world today. And with full disclosure, she's also a good friend of mine. Her past books include A People's History of Christianity, The Other Side of the Story, and Christianity for the Rest of Us, How the Neighborhood Church is Transforming the Faith. In February of this year, she published her latest work titled Christianity After Religion, The End of Church and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening. And we've been working to schedule this interview with her for many weeks. I'm delighted that Dr. Butler Bass is finally here in our studios. I'm really eager to explore the ideas that she presents in this new book. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. Diana, welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
In your new book, you draw parallels between the social and cultural upheaval of the 1970s with a broad spiritual transformation as well. I think that's going to be a new idea for a lot of people. Talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, it's a really interesting sort of pattern that we have in previous eras of American history, that religious upheaval or spiritual upheaval often goes hand in hand with political and cultural change. We tend to separate those two things, I think, in our popular culture right now. We think about religion as being primarily conservative and that it doesn't really drive political or cultural change. But in other generations, the two have moved together. And when a spiritual and religious upheaval and transformation twins with political and cultural upheaval, it often is what results in what we call periods of awakening, these times in which American history actually changes. Mm-hmm. And an awakening is not just like a revival meeting where mm-hmm. individuals might get changed, but instead an awakening is a time when American society as a whole is transformed. Mm-hmm. It was once one thing and it becomes something very different. Mm-hmm. And this has to happen on all different levels of American life, religion included. And so that it has been, I argue in this book that there has been an awakening going on mm-hmm. that started in the 1970s, but is now sort of gaining speed and may actually be coming to a point of a tipping point, as they say, a real conclusion that American culture is in a place of profound change.
That makes even more important, I think, the other item I wanted to insert here at the beginning. I was very interested in the statistic that you quote, that in the early 1960s, 22% of Americans said that they had had a mystical experience with God, and that number had gone up to close to 50% by 2009. I mean, that's a huge change in a very short amount of time.
It is a big change, and it's one of the markers that points out the fundamental thing that's happening about faith and spirituality and religion right now, is we are shifting off of religion being primarily about institutional or brand name identity, some sort of objective set of doctrines or beliefs that you inherit from your parents. And faith has become much more experiential. And so you can see that in that particular statistic, is that once upon time it would have been odd mm-hmm. For a person to talk about having a religious experience. But now half of the population will readily admit to a survey taker that they have had some sort of meaningful religious experience.
Do these people share common characteristics?
We don't really know that in its entirety. What the characteristic that they do change, that they do share, is that they somehow believe that faith is important internally and that it has the capacity for creating personal meaning and a sense of vocation and power in one's life. And when you think about experiential religion, you could be talking about everything from someone who is a Muslim who has a direct, unmediated encounter with God, to a liberal Protestant like myself, who has always cherished the spiritual aspects of faith through prayer and meditation and even involvement in social justice, I find to be a very experiential, powerful thing that helps me meet God, to, you know, someone in your local Pentecostal church. So you can see that all those people have different theological beliefs, but what they do share is this emphasis that faith is about experience rather than faith being about doctrine or some sort of external authority. And that is a big change in American culture.
I want to do some intentional redundancy here, because I want to go back to be sure that everybody gets the distinction you're making, that though there have been periods, even cycles, of religious revivals in the nation, that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about this being the possibility of an awakening that goes beyond religious labels and structured belief systems. In fact, you go so far as to describe a, these are your words, faith beyond conventional religious boundaries.
Yes. I think it is a very exciting time. That distinction between revivalism and awakening is a very important one for people to grasp. Many folks are familiar in American culture with revivals. You know, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, lots of different churches have a yearly revival meeting.
Amen.
I know you know about that from your tradition. And so the expectation of that yearly revival is that an individual will find themselves sort of face to face with Jesus or God again and repent of their sins and straighten their life up, and then they'll be okay for a year until the next revival when they have to do it over. But a revival is a sort of an isolated and ritualized way of repentance and recommitting one's own self to God. An awakening is not that. An awakening is a cultural revitalization movement whereby a culture goes through a period of loss and grief and the failure of old institutions and has to then re-understand what it means to be a people and to have a sense of communal mission, what it means to care for one another, and what our stance and mission to the world should be. And it's very clear that for the last 30 or 40 years, the United States has been going through a period of time where our institutions have been failing and that there has been a loss of cultural confidence. And we could continue to go that way, but what I think is happening, what I think many of the statistics show, is that we are beginning or in the middle of a process now of revisioning what it means to be a faithful person, a faithful community, and we are beginning to think about what that will do for the future. And I think that that means we are moving through this period of a cultural revitalization movement, and we'll come out on the other end with different kinds of institutions religiously and politically and a new sense of mission and a new sense of confidence about being a people in the world.
That's a pretty radical statement because, you know, people usually associate religion with security, stability, and you're saying that right now spirituality is evolving. It's not trying to maintain. It's actually going to a new frontier.
Yeah, a lot of people think that religion or faith or spirituality should be a protection from change, that you go to church to connect with something that's old and that never changes. But the reality of it is, from a historical or sociological perspective in the United States, is that religion has always been part of change. And you can look at several large moments of change in American history around the time of the American Revolution and the years immediately preceding that. Religion went through an enormous cycle of change. And it was a lot of the change that happened in religious institutions institutions that actually led to the political upheaval of the American Revolution. You get something very similar happening in the early 1800s and then again at the turn of the 20th century. And I think that we're in another one of those moments when religion and politics are moving through a period of transformation to help to create a different kind of American society. And it is a big, energetic statement to make, and it's a big claim to make. But I'm willing to make it because I actually feel like it's visible, and you can see it in the tensions that are present in religious institutions as well as the tensions that are present in our political life. We're fighting about the future of what it means to be American. Yeah. And when you're fighting, it means that something is happening. We wouldn't be arguing if there wasn't the possibility of a new thing emerging on the other side of this.
I know you realize this, that yours is not the only perspective on this, and among the other perspectives are those who disagree. I think it's really interesting, maybe ironic, that your book comes out about the same time, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, and I apologize in advance, New York Times reporter Ross Douthat has written a book called Bad Religion. If you read the beginning of his book and read the beginning of your book, you all started exactly the same place. But as he proceeds, he wants to revitalize what has been with a kind of reformation. You're saying this is not a day for that. This is a day for innovation, for moving into new territory.
Yes, that is the essential difference between my book and his book. I was sort of shocked when I read his book because we start with the exact same statistics of institutional collapse, whereas he thinks that the institutional collapse of religion is bad. I don't love it. I work with a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. I'm very I honor people who have served in institutional religion as much as I honor people who serve in the military. But the truth of it is that the old conventional structures of and institutions of religion have collapsed. And every statistic shows us that. And so here I wrote my book, and this New York Times reporter wrote his book, and we start in the same place. But he then goes on and he says, what we have to do in order to fix America is to fix these institutions. We need better institutions that are more theologically orthodox, and we need to purify them. And that is exactly the opposite of what I say. I actually say that when institutions begin to fall apart, that gives us the possibility for innovation, creativity, and something new to be born. So he calls for us to go back. And my book says, let's go forward. Mm-hmm. And the basis of what he doesn't like, experiential religion, is what I find to be the basis of hope for the future. Yeah. So if anybody ever had us in the same room, boy, would we have a lively argument. Because I look at those experiential movements, and I think that that's the source of a lot of American optimism, a lot of the energy of our culture. When we have managed to move to a new place and create new ideas and new products for the rest of the world, it comes out of the people who are disenchanted with old institutions and comes from the people who are willing to take things into their own hands and make their future. And so that's where I sort of think that religion and spirituality are going, where people can do that kind of innovative work.
Donna, you've been on State of Belief before, so you knew this question was coming at some point. What does all of this that's happening in the realm of spirituality, faith and spirituality, how does that impact politics and government? Because right now there are a lot of conservative Christian leaders just throwing fits over what's happening both in government and in religion, and they want their voters that's a good word. They want their voters, but also their congregants, to obey them and to vote in blocks. And there are a lot of politicians pandering to get to these people. So what's the impact on politics?
Well, institutional religion in the past has served as a gatekeeper to those kinds of voting blocks. And so it used to be that you could go to the local Catholic bishop and say, hey, you know, we want our people to vote for this particular candidate, and he'll support, you know, he's a good Catholic and he'll support what you care about. And so institutional religion has functioned in that kind of way, that you can get people behind particular candidates or particular issues. If that kind of institutional religion is still empowered, well, then that's the way you can think about it politically. But if we're moving to a culture with this much more diffuse, less institutional, and more innovative kind of spirituality, and that people are forming new kinds of communities, there are no gatekeepers. There are essentially no voting blocks. Mm-hmm. And you actually don't know how all those people are going to vote. And so there is no way of sort of controlling the emerging vision of political and cultural life. There are ways of beginning to see what it might look like.
Yeah.
It's far less hierarchical. It's very interested in ideas of connection.
Faith traditions may change their relationships, be more open with each other?
Yes. People will be much more open, and there will be fewer boundaries between religious traditions. I've sometimes said that the emerging kind of religious pattern is going to be friendlier to movements like Occupy Wall Street politically, or some of the environmentalist movements.
Yeah.
It's going to be more movement oriented than it is going to be political party oriented. So the new faith and spirituality poses somewhat of a threat to the old institutional structures.
Yeah.
And I think that it is an undertow of the political argument that we're having right now.
Yeah, that's great. I was just sitting here thinking, as you describe that, you know, freedom is a scary thing for someone who likes control. And we've got a lot of people in the churches I know who have managed control because they get what they want. I think what you're talking about would scare them to death.
Yeah, and it has in the past. One of the most exciting things about looking at awakenings through history is that these kinds of religious awakenings, or I'd say spiritual awakenings in American history, have always resulted in less hierarchy and broadening the circle of democracy. And so these movements have always leveled the playing field, allowed for greater social equality, and brought more people to the table in terms of voice and their power to participate in the political process. And so we could be in a moment when we are literally in a 50-50 moment.
Yeah.
That 50% of the people want to go back, like that Ross Douthat book, Bad Religion.
Right.
You know, he clearly wants a different kind of religion so that we have a different kind of political life. And he sees the 1950s as being the best example of the greatest America we've ever had. And I'm sorry that I don't share that perspective.
Yeah.
Then we have probably about 50% of the culture that's moving in this new pattern of faith and spirituality, and I am certain they are demanding a different kind of political life.
Absolutely.
They just don't have the voices yet or the attention of the media in order to be able to articulate it quite as clearly as the old structures of political power.
Well, to be possibly heretically simplistic, it strikes me that it is the pull between comfort and hope. And hope demands much more discomfort in moving in its direction. One last question, because we're just about out of time. What did you learn in this book, in researching it, writing it? What did you learn that impacted you the most?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there were two things. One is I was stunned by how complete the collapse of conventional religion has been in the course of the last dozen years. I think everyone expected religion to kind of have a rebirth with the new millennium, but it has gone exactly the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And more Americans feel freer every single hour to reject conventional religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a surprise to me. I think it's been a surprise to a lot of religious leaders. And then I think sort of on the other side of the collapse, has been for me a commitment or a reconnection to my own sense of courage. As I thought about an awakening being a cultural revitalization movement and seeing that this is actually happening across our society and that the possibilities are great for a renewal of American life, mm-hmm. It has given me a new sense of urgency and courage and hope for the future. And I think I went into this project myself with a little less enthusiasm for those possibilities. And so I've actually learned that you can't just say hope, but you have to act out hope. Mm. And that I have great just sort of enthusiasm for encouraging people to make sure that they can act hope, not just say it. And if we can act, hopefully, I think we can create a new future.
Dr. Diana Butler Bass is the author of 6 books on American religion. Her latest is one I think you would find very interesting to read. It's entitled Christianity After Religion, The End of Church and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening. Dr. Butler Bass, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you.